Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Have you ever found yourself at a place of so much frustration, a place that was depressing, a place that felt hopeless, didn't know what to do? Have you ever had a direction you wanted to go or a destination you wanted to arrive at, and it just seemed like you were facing headwind after headwind after headwind, obstacle after obstacle, and it's no matter how hard you tried, no matter how much you prayed, it felt like you were just running in motion, not getting anywhere. If you can relate to those, you will understand and enjoy a true but inspiring story that was once on the big screen. If you can relate to that situation, you will also enjoy an inspiring, true story found in the Bible, and we'll look at both of those stories today. Welcome to At the Movies 2017. We're in part 3 of 4 as we're looking at movies to really use them as a springboard to talk about spiritual truth. Jesus did that as he told what was called parables back then, as he told stories, and the people on the hillside were leaning in going, where is he going with this story? And some of the stories didn't even make sense, and he had to clarify it, but the purpose of the story was to teach on something spiritual. And that's what we're doing in this story. One of the reasons why we love stories so much is because our Heavenly Father is a story teller. So if you're brand new, we're in this series. First of all, we started off with La La Land and had to do a musical. And the end of this movie was so frustrating because it represented a real life painful emotion called regret. What if? Would have, could have, should have. And we talked about how regret is a helpful teacher. It helps us to go, I won't do that again because it hurts or it was painful. But it is a horrible, regret is a horrible master. And too many of us are living in the land of regret, and that's not what God has for us. We unpacked that of how to move forward and get past the la-la land of regret. And then last week, we talked about Ben-Hur. It was last summer, the first remake of the epic 1959 Ben-Hur, starring Charlton Heston. And this one, we talked about how every mention of Jesus or every interaction with Jesus that Ben-Hur had, there was power. There was a surge of power. And it was because of Jesus at the end of the movie that he was kind of set free from his bondage of anger and hatred and bitterness. And it was only the power of Jesus that set him free. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about Hidden Figures. If you haven't seen this movie, it's pretty powerful and also deals with an issue that is raging in our country today, the issue of racism. And this week I wrestled back and forth of, do I switch this Sunday and put Hidden Figures today? And as I was walking and praying, I felt God saying, stay the course. We planned this months ago. There's someone today that needs to hear what was planned to be said. So I want to encourage you to be back next Sunday as we will unpack this story and look at scripture and a couple issues, one of them being racism. And some of the things I'll share next week may not be politically correct, but I guarantee you it will be biblically correct that we need to hear. So I want to encourage you to be back next Sunday as we unpack several things that will springboard from this powerful movie. Well, I promise, since we did a musical, we're going to have a sports movie. Today, we're going to talk about Rudy, that hit the theaters in 1993. And it's a true story. It's a true story and very inspirational story. And if you think about all the movies that have ever been made, I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of movies, Rudy ranks in the higher echelon of most inspiring movies of all time. It's number 54 of all movies of being so inspiring. It's a true story. And the guy in the original story, his name's Daniel Rudy Rudiger, a real guy who had this passion as a kid. I want to play football at Notre Dame. And he was too short. He was too slow. Wasn't that athletic. And his brother mocked him. His dad discouraged him to even try. And he was just determined to go after this dream. And he faced all sorts of obstacles. And he finally got there. And then he made the practice team. And he was basically the practice dummy. And he was getting killed and crushed and just hammered on every single day of every single practice. And then finally, his senior year, he gets to dress. One of his dreams to run on the field, to wear the uniform. He gets to dress. At the very end of the game, he gets inserted into the game. And it was written down in the history of athletics at Notre Dame because he played 26 seconds of that game. Here's a preview back in the day of this story.
After high school, I'm going to play football at Notre Dame.
Chasing a stupid dream causes nothing but you and everyone around you heartache.
The problem with dreamers is they usually are not doers.
Are you fully aware of the sacrifices you're going to have to make?
It's the most beautiful campus in the world.
Having dreams is what makes life tolerable.
Notre Dame is for rich kids, smart kids, great athletes.
It's not for us.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to go to school here. And ever since I was a kid, everybody said it couldn't be done. I always listened to them, believe what they said. I don't want to do that anymore.
Hey, kid! Not supposed to be here.
Not everyone is meant to go to college.
I need your help.
Why should I help?
I just want to be a part of this university.
You're nuts.
You know, a lot of people have been telling me that lately.
Sometimes a winner is a dreamer who just won't quit.
Hey, you guys, my son's going to Notre Dame.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
I wish God would put your heart in some of my players' bodies.
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
A true story from the creators of Hoosiers.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Yeah. The reason why this movie is so inspirational is not because he played 26 seconds in an Irish uniform. It was all the obstacles that he had to go through, of ridicule from his brother, of discouragement from his dad. He couldn't even get into Notre Dame because he didn't have the grades. He had to go across the street to Holy Cross and would barely make it and kept trying to get into Notre Dame and got rejected 3 times, barely making it in his junior year. And then he went and tried out and he barely made the team and he was the battering ram. He was just this moving dummy that was going to hit and plummet day after day after day after day. And then at the end of his junior year, his head coach promised him, next year, your senior year, you will get to dress one game. And that was so exciting. And then he found out a few weeks later that his coach that made that promise retired. A new coach came in, didn't honor the agreement, didn't honor the promise. Before every game, he went to the list, and is my name going to be dressed? Am I going to be dressed? Is my name on the list? And it wasn't. Rudy hit the wall. At the very end of the senior season, he was like, I'm done. It doesn't matter anymore. I quit. But a friend who cared for him got in his face and confronted him with power, with honesty, with truth, and very direct challenged him to not quit. Here's that very inspiring confrontation from a friend who loved him.
Show the tops ready. We'll check with the weather service by 5, and we'll make a decision then. Hey. What you doing here? Don't you have practice?
Not anymore. I quit.
Oh. Well, since when are you the quitting kind?
I don't know. I just don't see the point anymore.
So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad. To prove to everyone
prove
that I worked...
what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are so full of... You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't going to never happen. Now go on back.
Sorry, I never got you to see your first game in here.
I've seen too many games in this stadium.
I thought you said you never saw a game.
I've never seen a game from the stands.
You were a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I wasn't being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude. So I quit. Still not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you. You hear me clear enough?
So maybe you're here today and you're discouraged. You're frustrated because you're not where you want to be. And it seems like everything you do, you're facing these headwinds that are holding you back. Just because we face headwinds doesn't mean we're going in the wrong direction. We're going to look at a story in God's word of someone that could have just quit. Said, what's the deal? What's the point? But didn't. I hope that maybe today some of you will face like your own, someone of encouragement of hang in there, keep going, keep trusting in God. If you have a copy of God's word, turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're going to talk about the story of this guy named Paul that was a servant of God, and he was really commissioned by God to go around the known world at that time and go to the Gentiles and share the gospel. And now Paul finds himself on a ship that he shouldn't have been on. He is accused of a crime he didn't commit, and they go on their... trying to go to Rome, and they had find out they were in this nasty storm, and the storm was just turning the ship all around, and they couldn't go to Rome. They stopped in Crete, the island of Crete, and Paul tells the captain, hey, what we should do is we should stay here for the winter and not go out, stay here for the winter. Well, the captain's like, you're a prisoner. I'm not listening to you. And so they get back on the ship, and they head in the direction of Rome, and then they face an even nastier storm that is just throwing the ship all over the place. They had to, I don't know how they did it, but they ran ropes underneath the boat to tie it together to keep it from exploding apart. They began to toss, you know, cargo overboard to lighten the load to no avail. We pick up this story in the middle of a storm in verse 20. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Maybe that's where you are today. You're like, I've given up all hope. After they had gone a long time, verse 21, without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and your loss. I'm not sure that's a good time to say, I told you so. I told you so. You should have listened to me. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 22, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. I'm sure they're looking at him sideways like, how do you know this? Verse 23, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So Paul says, now keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground some island. I have faith because God sent me a messenger to tell me we will get to Rome. You will stand before Caesar and no one is going to die, although we're going to shipwreck. We're going to lose everything, but you're not going to lose your life. I have faith in God. Hang in there. Be strong. Have courage. And then they began to eat, and because they haven't eaten in a while, and the storm was still raging, and then they started throwing off the tackle and anything of weight, and they dropped all four anchors, hoping it would grab the floor and hold them back, and that didn't work. And then it hit a sandbar, and the ship came apart at the seams. But everybody lived as they found some wood, and they floated to this remote, small, lonely island called Malta. Now here's a map of this in the Mediterranean. See, Paul began in Israel, Caesarea, was put on a ship, and they were supposed to go to Rome, but they landed in Crete, didn't listen to his advice, and he finds himself in Malta. But he wanted to go to Rome. Even, anyway, God told him a long time ago, you're gonna share the gospel in Rome. And he was excited. I'm sure he didn't know that he was going to be a prisoner and be arrested to go face Caesar. But this is where he wanted to go. He couldn't wait to share the gospel. But he's not in Rome. He's in this little dot right here called Malta. Not in Rome, but in Malta. So let me ask a question. How many of you have ever been over here? How many of you have ever been to Malta? Can I see a hand? Okay, one, two. This service beats the last service. Maybe I asked the question wrong. How many of you were going a direction and you were hindered from getting to where you thought you should go? Can I see your hand? Oh, you have been to Malta. How many of you ended up in a place that you did not plan on going, but God sent you there? Could I see your hands? Hey, more of you have been to Malta. Have you been to Malta? Have you had a situation and I find myself here, but I thought we were going to be there? I'm not there, I'm here. How did I get here? I wanted to go there. Because you lost your job when it wasn't expected. You were on Malta because you didn't anticipate your child rebelling and now they won't talk to you. You never anticipated being there in that relationship. Your finances all made sense and you were diverted and you're not in a secure position. You're in a very insecure island of Malta. You find yourself in a land of depression that you never anticipated arriving there. You had your retirement all planned, but you didn't plan on being a widow in retirement. You're looking around and going, I'm at this age and I'm still single. I didn't plan on being here at this age. Some of you as parents, you're like, I had these plans and dreams and hopes and desires as a parent, but I never thought I would be a single parent. But there you are. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be burying a child instead of all the plans that you'd hoped for. You've been to Malta. Some of you are in Malta right now. And you're so frustrated, you're so discouraged, you're facing these headwinds, and no matter how hard you work, no matter what you do, no matter how much you pray, you're not making any progress. And you're at the point of like, I think I'm done. Here's the central point this morning. That's actually a question. How will you respond when you land on your Malta? How will you respond when you land on your Malta? Again, if you're not on a Malta now, you will be. So how will you respond? Will you quit? Will you say, I'm done, God. I've been trying my best. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to obey your word. And I never anticipated I'd be here. I wanted to be there. I was hoping for there. Now I'm here. And I'm discouraged. And these storms I never anticipated have hit me and hit me hard. Now listen carefully. You and I may never choose to land on a Malta, but we will choose how we will respond when we get there. We may never choose to land on a Malta, but we, all of us, will choose how we will respond. So we see in chapter 28 that they land on this little dinky little island, and we pick up the story in verse 1. It says, only once safe on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. Now, that word islanders is in the Greek where we get the word barbarians, all right? It wasn't just islanders like the music we played this morning. Oh, islands, you know, with nice little lays around. No. They were like barbarians. But they were, whoa, this is different. They're being unusually kind to us. Here we are on this land. We have no ship. We have no cargo. We have no baggage. All I have is the clothes on my back. That's all I have. At least I'm alive. And they land and they have these islanders showing us kindness. How? Well, these islanders built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. See, the storm is still raging. So they built a fire. Verse 3, Paul said, well, let me help. I want to help. Paul gathered up a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, are you kidding me? A viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Are you serious, God? I'm a servant of you. I want to share the gospel, and now I'm a prisoner, and I've been shipwrecked. Now I'm cold, and now I'm wet. I just tried to help the islanders being nice to us. I'm going to help build a fire. Now, I didn't have a little snake bite. I mean, he's just latched onto my hand. I mean, he's just given it everything it has. Are you serious, God? What's the phrase? When it rains, it... Have you ever been there? Like, are you kidding me, God? One more thing? How do we respond when one more thing hits us? I love what happens here in this story. So Paul, he's surrounded with a bunch of barbarians, and these islanders, they're doing what? Because he has a snake on his hand. He says, when the islanders saw the snake, verse 4, hanging on his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. So he did something bad to deserve this as the snake is hanging down. It's just still hanging there. Have you ever found yourself on a lonely island of Malta and people make comments like, well, you must have done something to deserve this. Like, that's what you want to hear. Well, he must be a murderer. He must have done something to deserve this. Parents, have you ever been accused of your children makes poor choice and they're like, it's your fault? See, people's opinions can be hurtful. It can be painful. Obviously, God's trying to punish you. So what did Paul do? I believe he heard a song. I believe he heard a song that says, it's going to be all right, because players are going to play. Help me out. And haters are going to hate. So I shake it off. I shake it off. She did not know Taylor Swift's song goes way back. Because in verse 5, there it is. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire. You're like, how did you see that? I'm just... interesting. Like, you need to go on a sabbatical. You're going to break enough. But it says that he suffered no ill effects. Don't miss this next part. I think this is hilarious. The people, there's all these islanders, expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, I mean, they're looking for at him the whole time. There's all these islanders. So when's he gonna die? Ooh, does that look red? Is that starting to swell? Do you notice, is there like a red line from his hand going toward his heart? I give him 20 minutes. Maybe they're placing bets. When's the dude gonna die? And they're like, wait a second, nothing's happening. They waited for a long time. Could you imagine going through a hard time and people just staring at you? When's he gonna, and then they changed their mind because they saw there was no effects. They said he was a murderer. Now they said, he's a god. That's a jump, don't you think? He's a murderer. He deserved this. He's a god. See, that is why we cannot place our hope and confidence in the opinions of other people because they change. One, they don't have all the information. He's a murderer. They don't understand the full story. He wasn't a god, but he was trusting in God. See, we place our so much collateral in people's opinions of us, of the situations we're in, why we're in Malta, and what's going to happen. And Paul did not place his opinions in other people at all. You see, when God sent a messenger, that's what angels are, a messenger, said, you're still going to get to Rome. Trust me. Don't worry. Have faith in God. That's what Paul was holding on to. Not the opinions of the captain, not the opinions of the crew, not the opinions of the islanders who were making all kinds of weird jumps of opinions and accusations. He had his hope, he had his confidence and faith in God. Now, it would be so cool that if God would send us an angel. Angels in Bibles were always huge and bright and like, come into your bed at night going, hang in there, you're on Malta, don't quit. You're like, okay, God, I'll trust in you. God doesn't send us angels. But he has sent us his word that I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust in me. And at 360 times one per day, do not fear. Do not fear. In times in my life, times in our family's life when we've been shipwrecked on an island of Malta. It was a passage of scripture. It was a verse that we just held on to, that we rode out the storm and all the questions and all the uncertainty and why are we here, how long we're going to be here, what's going to happen. We didn't plan on this, and we're holding on to God's scripture, God's truth, God's love for us and his words. Sometimes it was also accompanied by a song that was really emphasizing God's truth, and we're just hanging on that song, listening to the song as tears are rolling down our eyes, or maybe it was a sermon or a podcast that we know that God sent us a message. I know where you're at. You're on Malta. It doesn't make sense. I know it's scary. And just hang on. Hang on to me. I will carry you through. So how are you responding, or how will you respond when you find out I am on a Malta? It is not where I want to be. For some reason, this is where God has me. How do we respond? So many people just, I'm out. And they listen to the enemy going, I thought God loved you. If God loved you, he wouldn't have sent you this. He wouldn't have allowed this to happen. You see, God purposely sent Paul to Malta. The story continues. Look at verse 7. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. Please, parents, do not name your son after that. Pick a lot of other Bible names. Where are you going? Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us into his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. Here's the backstory. probably of the invitation. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. And they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us the supplies we needed. It wasn't just an island. God didn't forget him. God didn't make a mistake. He sent him there on purpose. Also for your notes, if you let him, God will use your Malta to reveal himself to you and through you. If you let him, if you don't quit, if you don't run for the exit, I tried God, I'm out. If you let him, God will use your Malta to reveal himself to you and through you. It's the hardest times in our life when we cling to God by faith and hold tightly to his word and his truth. It seems like God is shouting loudest to us in our pain, in our craziness, in our questions, and our faith grows stronger, and we'll constantly look back as God revealed himself to us in a special way. Now, do I want to go through that again? No, but my faith and walk with God will never be the same. And God would also reveal himself through us to other people. The islanders, when they saw Paul, who is shipwrecked, who is cold, who is wet, and now a snake is hanging off his hand, and they're watching and observing for a long time, it was no accident they were there, who then sent word into the village, this guy's separate, this guy's different. This guy's unique. Because people are watching us when we're on Malta. If you're a parent, you got little kids, you got teenagers who are watching, how is my mom going to respond on this little island? How is my dad going to respond to this crisis? And many times their faith will grow strong because of how you responded. And if you check out on God, you give them permission to check out on God. You have people that you work with. You have relatives. You have neighbors who are watching you. Oh, they're going to bail. I would bail. I would quit on God. Wait a second. They're not. And God used a shipwreck and lost everything and rain and cold and a snake to draw people to himself through Paul's Malta. So have you ever been to Malta? Some of you are on Malta right now. You're on, next slide please, we're on this little nondescript island. You want to be here so bad, but God in his sovereignty has landed you here. Malta was just a season for Paul. Maybe a scary season, maybe a confusing season, but it was just a season. God's sovereign plan was not done writing his story. You're in a season right now. Have faith in God. Keep holding on to him. It may be Malta, but that's just a season for what God is going to continue to write for you. How will we respond on Malta? And if we let God, okay, God, I don't get you, I don't understand, but reveal yourself to me and through me for your glory. Will you pray with me? God, as I look across this room and maybe even people right now online, you know who is on Malta right now. And they feel like you've abandoned them when you haven't. It's lonely, it's scary, it's confusing. You know exactly who's on a Malta. Every head bowed, every eye closed, so I can pray specific. Could I see a raise of hand? Yep, I am on Malta right now. I'm on a Malta. Could I see you? Yes. Yes, many hands, many hands. God knows. And God is also there with you. If you haven't trusted in Christ as your Savior, maybe God's using this so that you stop trusting on everything else but Him and that you would surrender to Him. And He will reveal Himself to you by your faith in Jesus. God, I pray that you would use a Malta to reveal yourself to these people and through these people for your glory, for your praise. Help them, encourage them to not quit, to keep going. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.